We're just having fun. How many of you are thankful you're in God's house and we're about to get into God's Word? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. We started a kind of a mini-series for all intents and purposes that I've entitled, What's in Your Hand? And it'll make sense after we read the scripture here. And I'm just going to give some review, and then I'm going to take us into an experience that I had many years ago. I shared it here recently on a Sunday evening, but I want to share it Sunday morning. It changed my thinking entirely, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, or let's begin reading with verse 8, rather. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings, for the gospel according to the power of God. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Notice what he mentions here. He mentions he has saved us and called us. How many of you know that if you're saved, you are called? We often relegate that word calling to being a part of the ministry, full-time ministry. That's not what that's talking about. Okay? And notice, we are called according to his own purpose. We are called according to his own purpose. A lot of us kind of assume that calling and purpose are one and the same, but they're not one and the same. Calling is entirely different from purpose, and purpose is entirely different from calling. So let's show them Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 out of the Amplified Version. Notice it says here, He, God, has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, and then further defines eternity, a sense of divine what? Purpose in where? In the human what? Heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. So God has planted purpose in every one of our hearts. Every one of our hearts beats with purpose. Some of you are thinking, well, I don't know what my purpose in life is. So ask yourself this question. What are your loves in life? What do you love? What are you passionate about? What captivates you? You know, I said last week, you don't have to chase purpose because your purpose will captivate you. It will capture your attention. It will grab your imagination. That is your purpose in life. That's what's in your heart. Isn't that what it says? That God has firmly placed or planted purpose, divine purpose in all of our hearts. All right, so let's go then to what is calling. So if purpose is what's in my heart, then what is my calling? Well, you remember, you know, we looked at the story of Moses when he was at the burning bush and God was telling Moses about purpose and Moses was resisting. He was resisting arrest. Divine arrest, right? All these excuses, and he even lied to the Lord. Said, Lord, I'm not a man of speech. I can't speak. You know, Stephen, one of the disciples in Acts chapter 7, said contrary to what Moses told the Lord. He said, Moses was raised with the best education in Egypt, and he was a powerful orator. So not only did he make excuses to the Lord, not only did Moses make excuses to the Lord, he also lied to the Lord. Yikes. And the Lord in his mercy kept prompting him. And then he finally said, well, what sign will I show the Egyptians that you have sent me? And what did the Lord ask Moses? What is in your hand? So my calling then is what's in my hand. My purpose is what's in my heart. My calling is what's in my hand. Right? Purpose, heart, calling, hand. And we said, church family, listen, there is no way around this, that it is actually me performing my calling, what's in front of me right now in my life. That is my calling. That is your calling. That is me actually, it's me actually doing something with what's in my hand that lead me to fulfill all the dreams and all the purposes in my heart. Right? There's no other way around it. As I'm faithful with what's in my hand, that's going to lead me to fulfill my purpose in life. Well, Joe, I don't like my life right now. I'm glad you do. Whoever said I do. I've heard young moms say this. I have three screaming babies. What kind of purpose is that? Well, baby number one, you should have thought about that before you and your hubby decided to come together. Right? Now that you have them there, that is your calling. Well, that doesn't feel spiritual. How many of you know that changing diapers does not feel spiritual? How many of you know that getting vomited on by your babies does not feel spiritual? How many of you know that when they're old enough, taking them to time out, gosh, you young people are so spoiled. Time out. I don't remember time out, brother. I remember my dad taking time out of his schedule to attend to my bottom.
And I'm telling you, them razor straps were pretty thick.
They were pretty thick. I remember lights out. Who remembers lights out? I don't remember time out.
Oh, my daddy put me in timeout.
Jeez, let's move on. Unbelievable. Yeah, some of us were raised in the old school, in the effective way of disciplining. Thank you. It's called biblical, that's right. Yeah. So where were we now? It's what's in my hand that's going to lead to what's in my heart. Now, let me share a story with you, because this was brought home to me back, gosh, probably almost 20 years ago. I was pastoring Kansas, and a little bigger church than this. And, you know, in our church, we had some high-functioning, autistic, older gentlemen. They were brothers. Two of them were twins, and then they had a third brother that was a little older and was not as healthy. But the two twin brothers, they would walk all over town. Once again, they were higher-functioning, autistic gentlemen. So they would walk. Everything to them was like they went on the clock. When I was in my office, and my office was right next to the doors as they opened into the church, you could count on them walking through to use the church restroom every day at a certain hour. That's how regimented they were. They went to the church, they walked to the watch shop, the jewelry shop, because the gentlemen would always synchronize their watches every day. They would walk over to the cemetery, and there in the cemetery, they would pay respects to one of their deceased siblings. So they were known in Kansas, in the city that we were in, as the Walking Brothers, okay? So, you know, they would walk by and stop by. Hey, guys, how are you? Oh, good. And I tried to make them laugh because they had the funniest laugh. But anyway, I remember one time one of the brothers walked in the door like this, trying to make it down to the basement because that's where the restroom was. Well, I didn't think anything of it. You know, 10 minutes later, he gets up, he leaves. So I had to go to the restroom after a while, and I noticed that this brother missed. And it was, and we had a carpeted floor in the basement restroom of the church, and I'm thinking, oh no. I should have noticed when I went downstairs, the stench was all over. So I went to my office, I called our custodian, and I said, Edie, that was her name, Edie. I said, hey, Edie, we had an incident here at the church. One of the brothers, you know, walking brother stopped by, missed it. And she said, well, normally she would have said, I'll be by, I'll clean it. But she said this, she said, today I'm driving bus, because she would also drive school bus as a side job. She said, today I'm driving bus, and Pastor Joe, why don't you clean it? And I immediately thought, whoa, that's not in my resume. Gene, you know that there's a fine print in every pastoral resume that says, and any other duty as called upon to do, right, brother? So I'm thinking, I get gloves on, I put on the boots, these little, you know, rubber boots, and I get a squeegee and We didn't have one of those things that you cover your mouth with, otherwise I would have put it on. I take a squeegee and I'm just trying to clean it all up.
Remember this, man.
What's that? What?
Remember this? Yeah, she'll have you down there cleaning the bathroom.
Miss Karen, you love me, don't you? You don't drive bus, do you? I didn't think so. Okay. Hallelujah. So I was squeegeeing and I was complaining. I was saying, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. This is not ministry. This is not ministry. I said, this is, you know, I'm not the custodian. I went to school. I went to seminary as well. Not for this. I went to make an impact in your kingdom, Lord. And I was just complaining. And I remember the Lord, in a very gentle but attention-getting way, told me. How many of y'all believe that God speaks to us, number one? You know, Joy Behar was once in The View, and she said that God, she's afraid of people who God speaks to. Well, baby, I hope he speaks to you. And I hope it's not, depart from me, you wicked person.
Amen.
Right? We pray that it's, well done, good and faithful servant. Anyway, so the Lord was, he said, Joe, he said, what if it's my will that you sit in a room all alone, not do anything, and be bored, and in so doing, I've never forgotten, in so doing, I receive maximum glory by you doing that. What if that's my will for you? What then? Will you sit in a room, empty room, and be bored for the rest of your life? For me to receive maximum glory? How many of y'all know that kind of puts things in perspective? And I said, Lord, I don't like it. Because I forgot to say that what I'm squeegeeing, part of my complaints was, you know, in the previous church, there was a well-to-do couple. Up in age, 80s, and, you know, they didn't have any children, and they had a lot of money. They had me out at their house, had us out, me and my family at the time, at their house, and it was just like a palatial mansion. And they said, when I notified that church that we were moving on to a different pastorate, this one couple stepped up and they said, Pastor Joe, we don't want you to leave. We will pay for all the continuing education that you want, you know, free of charge to you, and we'll increase your salary by $10,000 a year. How many of you know that back in 1993, that's a lot of what, buddy? That's right. That's a lot of money. It's still a lot of money today. And I was thinking about that. You know, and I didn't know this at the time. But when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about purpose. And what was my calling at the time? What was in my hand? A squeegee? And you know what the Lord told me? He said, your calling is what you have in front of you. He said, so get to it. You know, that was a very real lesson to me. Because at that moment, church family, listen carefully. At that moment, what was in my hand, if I did it with the right attitude of heart, it became a holy thing to the Lord. Am I right? Doesn't 2 Timothy 1:9 say that he has called us with a holy calling? But we don't equate what's in our hand with it being holy. A.W. Tozer, author of The Pursuit of God, once wrote, "Let a person sanctify the Lord God in their heart, and thereafter they can do no common thing." So anything in our hand can become holy, can it? If our heart motives are right. And for me, then after that, me having to squeegee all that stuff and clean it up, it became now an issue of me doing it with a right heart to the Lord. It no longer became, well, that's not my responsibility. Come on, somebody. Right? Okay, so it brings me to this point. Okay, so why do we have a hard time embracing our calling? Why do we normally like to be enamored by our purpose? There are a couple of reasons. Number one, if you're writing this down, thank you for keeping Ecclesiastes up. Notice, he says, he has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart. A what kind of longing?
Mysterious.
Number one, purpose is mysterious. Calling is familiar. Why do we not like what's in our hand? Purpose is mysterious. Calling is familiar. You know what I found, church family? I know you guys think I have an ego the size of Texas. Well, it's kind of shrinking. It's now Louisiana, okay? But I like me. I don't know why people don't like themselves, but I have found that a lot of people don't like themselves. They don't like themselves. They wish they were taller. They wish they were shorter. They wish they were thinner. They wish they were bigger. They wish they were more muscular. They wish this. They wish that. They were younger. Doesn't everybody want to be younger? Oh, I'm going to go to Dr. 90210. So anyway, you know, people don't like themselves. They don't like the familiar. They're enamored with the mysterious. Come on, somebody. You know, ladies, your purpose is like Fabio in all his glory. How many of y'all remember Fabio in the early 90s? Right? And your calling is like your husband.
Deep water,
right, brother? Fabio had all this flowing hair and unbuttoned shirt, you know, and he was just like in that gondola of a right. He wasn't he in a gondola in a commercial, right, Gene? I thought so. And your husband has a gut, a receding hairline like mine. Why do we prefer purpose over calling? Why don't we do anything with our calling? Number two, because your purpose is romantic and your calling is boring.
Amen.
We romanticize purpose. Oh, one of these days, man, it's going to be good. I'm telling you, I'm going to be pulling down a 6-figure salary, a 7-figure salary. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be doing this. But what's in front of you, it's like, ah, me. I can't do anything with this. Do you realize there are more Bible stories than the one I shared last week about Moses? You know, what about when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not including women and children, possibly, potentially up to upwards of 15,000 people. He fed them. You know what he fed them with? He fed them with some kid that I think Philip found in the crowd. One of the disciples found in the crowd, and he said, this kid only has 2 fish and 5 loaves, barley loaves of bread. And Philip said to the Lord, he said, but, and I think this is the New Living Translation, but what is that among such a huge crowd? Another translation says, what difference will this little make in this kid's hand versus the huge need at hand? Isn't that what we say? Lord, what difference will what's in my hand make with reference to my purpose, what's in my heart? And he said it. What about when the Lord stopped feeding Elijah the prophet with a raven and he said, I want you to go to a widow in Zarephath in Sidon and I want you to go there and I will feed you through her. Well, he gets there. The widow lady, Elijah asked for a drink of water. Am I right? Did he ask for a drink of water? Well, the lady's going to go get him a drink of water. He said, and also bake me a loaf of bread. Right? And she's like, sorry, sir. I only have, listen to her words, I only have a handful of flour. But the Lord used her, what was in her hand, to feed her and the prophet until it began to rain again. Right? Do you see what I'm talking to you about, church family? There is power in what's in your hand. Oh, I hate my job. 9 to 5. Same boss. Man, I don't like her. I don't like him. Blah, blah, blah. But that's what's in your hand. Right? That's what's in your hand. Okay? So let's go to number three. Why do we prefer purpose over calling? Because purpose is in the distant future. Calling is everyday, humdrum, tedious activity. We prefer purpose. Oh, it's in the future. It's fascinating. It's afar. Captivating. It whets our imagination. Our imagination can think of all kinds of wonderful possibilities in the future. And yet we look at our present and, oh, I don't like what's in my present. What's in my hand? Finally, why do we prefer purpose over calling? Why don't we do with anything? Why don't we do anything with what's in our hand? Because purpose is dreamy and calling is work. Right? Purpose is dreamy, calling is work. I've noticed on Instagram that my younger brother met with his son. His son is an incredibly successful real estate agent in El Paso, Texas. And so my younger brother has been, you know, in managerial jobs, holding down managerial jobs and such, and driving Uber on top of that to make extra money. But he's also going to Disneyland every other week, and I'm thinking, dude, you wouldn't have to drive Uber if you're constantly over in Los Angeles. Anyway, I'm the smarter guy, of course. But he took a photo of his. He signed up for classes, night classes, to learn about real estate. So he said, I want to fulfill my dream. Those were his words. I want to fulfill my dream. Well, the dream is his purpose. How many of you know what's in his hand is classes? Well, who wants classes? You work all day and then you have to go to community college to take classes? Well, that's work. You see, my family, I think some of us shy away from work when the Lord requires us to work. What's in our hand requires work. Let's say that what's in your heart requires you to do a little extra something. Are you willing to go the extra mile to fulfill your purpose by paying attention and doing something with what's in your hand, even if it calls for work? Amen? You know, the Bible says, even in Ecclesiastes, it says here that God has planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart. It also says in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart or might. It's not just talking about heart, not just talking about purpose, it's talking about calling, and do you perform your calling with all your might. Right? I'm going to close with a story and we will be done, and we'll be done early. You're very welcome. And I was friends, when I was in Kansas, I was friends with a football coach. And he had family in Illinois. His brother was a football coach as well in Trinity College. And we were having a conversation once, and I was at a point when I was enamored by purpose. And I didn't know this at the time because, you know, I didn't have the understanding that I have now about purpose and calling. And I was trying to convince him I was trying to talk to him about if he had any dreams or any pursuits and all that, because I was so caught up with purpose that I was trying to preach purpose to him. And I love the way he brought the conversation back. He said, Joe, my calling is what I have in front of me right now. I don't think about picking up and moving. I don't think about changing jobs. I don't think about my calling is what's in front of me right now. Never forgotten that conversation. What was he saying? My calling is what's in my hand. So I want to leave you with this, church family. What are you doing with what's in your hand? Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together in your word. God, we're ever so blessed, Father, with the riches of your word. Thank you for wisdom that flows from the fountain of your Holy Spirit. And Father, help us to be diligent. Help us to be faithful. Whatever it is that's in our hand, the squeegee, 9 to 5, kids that need to be raised, that are hard, they're at a hard stage in life, Lord, to deal with. Lord, we present it to you, and we sanctify you, Lord, in our hearts. And we understand that what's in our hand is truly a holy calling, whatever it is. And we thank you for entrusting us with that calling. Help us to be faithful and diligent over it, in Jesus' name.